All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 for the message this morning. Matthew chapter 6. I want to read just one verse, and that is verse 33. And many of you probably are very familiar with this verse. It's one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. And it's the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus is speaking this sermon. He went to the slopes just north of the Sea of Galilee and sat down and started to teach and preach this message and share his word with the people. And verse 33 of chapter 6 is one of the more well-known verses out of this sermon. So if you look at verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye," what's the next word? First. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, a good start in the new year. A good start in the new year. And verse 33 is a good start for the new year. So let's pray, and then I'll share with you some thoughts with this amazing little verse. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the beautiful music today. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his coming into this world. And Father, thank you for our salvation that resulted in his coming. And Lord, we just pray now that you will bless as we look at this 33rd verse out of this 6th chapter, and I pray that you will stir our souls with what our Savior had to say here in this Sermon on the Mount. And Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak and just fill me with your Spirit and enable and guide and direct my thoughts. And Father, I also pray that you'll bless our folks as they listen. And just give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And we'll thank you and praise you for your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard to believe that 2025 is already over. We now start a new year here in just a couple of days. And I remember back when COVID hit, back in 2020 and 2021, and those were 2 years that absolutely I was glad to see come and go. I remember there was just this sort of atmosphere that came across our country, and COVID just seemed to hit like a black plague, and we lost a lot of folks during COVID. We lost a lot of our church members, church family, and so I was so glad when 2020 was over, and then 2021, and I don't know about you, but those were difficult years for all of us. But in 2025 has not been nearly as bad as what 2020 was. For some reason, and I really don't know why, but I'm still glad to see 2025 go. I don't know why, but it's just like, whew, it's over, you know. And I don't know why, because it's not been nearly as traumatic as some of the previous years we've had. Anyway, I'm just kind of glad that we're starting a new year. New Year's always brings hope. It always brings anticipation. It always brings sort of a spirit of renewal and refreshment. And it's so good that we can be in church on this last Sunday and look forward to serving the Lord in 2026. I was reading the Sermon on the Mount the other day, last Tuesday morning, for my own personal edification. And when I got to chapter 6 and verse 33, I thought, wow, that is a good New Year's resolution verse right there for sure. And so I stopped and I considered it a little bit more and thought on a little bit more. And it came to my mind that normally I do not make New Year's resolutions. I'll tell you why. I don't make them because I never keep them. All right? Never. I have never kept my New Year's resolutions. Never have. So I just quit making them. I used to years ago. I can remember one time resolving, resoluting. I don't think that's a word, but I just made it one. But I remember making a New Year's resolution that I was going to eat better and lay off the junk foods. But at the holidays, you folks make sure that we have plenty of junk food. And thank you for that, by the way. God bless all of you who participate in the Let's Give Pastor Heart Disease program. I really do appreciate that. And being a grateful recipient, I eat just about everything you guys give us, and praise the Lord for it. But anyway, I decided I was going to eat better and lay off the junk foods, and I think that lasted until the Rose Bowl came on that New Year's evening about 8 o'clock. I think that's about how long that one lasted. And so I've not been real diligent about, keeping New Year's resolutions. One year I said, I'm going to exercise and get into shape. And so New Year's morning after breakfast, I got dressed and I walked down the bottom of our driveway and then jogged around our this was years ago, and jogged around our neighbor. Don't laugh. That hurts when you laugh, all right? And I jogged around our neighborhood, and then I ran up our driveway and then stood at the garage door and thought I was going to die. But anyway, I got my adrenaline up, and so I thought, well, I'll go downstairs and lift some weight. So I went downstairs. And I lifted weights and did some push-ups and some pull-ups and all those things. And, well, I felt good, but then the next morning came. And I thought I had died, to be honest with you. I could not move a muscle. Everything hurt. My earlobes hurt. I don't know what I did to stretch out my earlobes, but everything hurt. And I came to the conclusion that I was satisfied with my shape, all right? Round is a shape. And so I just decided to stick with round. And so I swore off ups, all right, all ups. I decided downs are much better, sit down, lay down. Those were better than sit-ups and pull-ups. So I said, no more ups. I'm going to just stick with downs. You see, folks, gravity is against ups, right? Gravity is against ups. And who designed gravity? God did. So I don't want to defy any of God's laws, all right? So I decided no more ups, and it made perfect sense to me at the time. Now, verse 33, however, is a wonderful verse that all of us can use and apply to our lives as we begin a new year. It's a good verse to make New Year's resolutions with, and anyone who wants to make some changes and start out the new year in a positive and in an exciting way, if you would just put Matthew 6:33 right in the forefront of your sight, I think you would find that that will be a wonderful way to have a successful and blessed 2026. Now, let's consider just a couple of things here from this 33rd verse. I want to give you three things here about this exhortation. First of all, notice the seeking in the exhortation. Now, I say that because right there, the second word in the verse, we read, but seek. Seek. Now, seek is the prominent thought here. It is an idea of getting our priorities in the right place and getting our direction set and established and going in the right way in our walk with God. You see, we need to realize that it is not easy to seek anything. It takes effort. It takes a little planning. It takes a little desire. And when you are seeking something, it is like that which you are seeking is not right at finger reach. You know, it's not right here. You have to seek for it. You have to strive for it. And that's what the word seeking is implying. If we are to seek, that means that there has to be some desire on our part. You know, I don't know about you, but the desire of my heart is to know the Lord better today than what I knew Him yesterday. It is to get in the Word of God and read something that will strengthen and encourage your faith. Pastor Ray and Lisa have this business that they do, and they make all these little knickknacks and cups and shirts and all this kind of neat stuff. And they've got this little thing that has all these Bible promises out of it. And many of those come out of the Psalms, most of them, if not all of them. And what they encourage you to do is to seek, seek, seek. I love the Lord because. I serve the Lord because. And then you take one of those little tablets out of there, those little wooden things, and stick it in the front of it. And every time I look over from my desk, there it is with a Bible promise connected to it. And thank the Lord that this Bible is literally filled over and over and over from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible with promises that we can hang on to that will help us to trust the Lord more and more each and every day. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is just seek to know the Lord. Just seek after the things of the Lord. So some energy is going to have to be expended in order for us to accomplish such a purpose. I want to know the Lord. I'm sure you want to know the Lord, but it takes some effort. It's not going to just happen. I told you years ago, I'm sure I've said it to you a number of times, but when I was in college, in Greek class, you have to buy all these little cards, these little tiny cards, and they have already written on them all the tenses to verbs. And you have to know those. You have to memorize those. You'll remember that in English, we have three tenses to a verb. That's past, present, and future. In Greek, there are 40 possibilities. 40 possibilities. So you can nail down the action of that verb. You can nail it down. That's why the Greek language was was so beneficial in the translating of the Bible, because you could nail down action that is connected to the verb that is being used. And so, 40 different tenses. Now, come on, that's a lot. And so what I thought was, you know, they give you this ring. It's about that big around, and it's just full of those cards. And you had to memorize. Every week there was a test. There was a quiz. And you had to memorize all those until you got them all down perfectly. You had to know them. That's what made Greek so difficult. You probably heard someone say that they took Greek class in college and it was a killer. Well, that's why. Because you have 40 tenses to a verb. And so I took those things and I'd go over them and repeat them and say them and repeat them and say them. And then after a while, they all run together. But it's time, you know, we had to go to bed at 11 o'clock. There was no staying up. We had to go to bed at 11 o'clock unless you were a senior, and then you could stay up from 11:30 to 12 or 11 to 11:30, I don't know, somewhere in there, and study. And so I remember I jokingly said, I'm going to take these Greek cards, put them under my pillow and sleep on them, and hopefully osmosis will kick in and it'll shove it into my head. You know, that's what I was hoping would happen. It didn't happen. But anyway, seek. It's something that we want so strongly that we are willing to exert energy and effort in order to get. And so we must go after the things of the Lord. Seek the things of the Lord. But now, wait a minute. If you do, mark it down, the devil is going to fight you with every ounce of energy he has. I mean, anytime you and I seek after the Lord, the devil is going to do all he can to hinder us from seeking after God. The moment that you begin seeking, you can rest assured the devil is going to do everything in order to stop you and hinder you from seeking the Lord. Nothing spurs Satan on to hinder any more than for us to make a conscious decision that we're going to seek the things of the Lord. If you don't believe that statement, then you just simply decide that you are going to start having a time each day where you read your Bible and where you pray. You just say, hey, I'm going to do this. And you make up your mind to do it. You're going to find that you are going to have the hardest time getting started of anything you've ever tried to do. That's just the way the devil works. He doesn't want you reading your Bible. The devil doesn't want you praying. The devil doesn't want you to understand the things of God, and he's going to fight you with all his might. You're going to find out your phone will ring. Yeah. Y'all, you folks notice that when I get down to the part in the message where I've set the hook and I'm reeling in the fish, you know, in the message, you know, where you get right down to where I'm getting ready to ask you to make a decision to seek the Lord, or I'm asking somebody to make a decision to trust Christ as their Savior, you get right down to that point and cell phones start going off all over the church. You've noticed that, haven't you? Yeah. I mean, I've certainly noticed it. And that's why we have this little reminder on the screen up here before the service starts. Hey, turn your cell phone off. Turn the cell phone off, because the devil is he doesn't want us to make those decisions. So you start reading and seeking after God, what's going to happen? Well, Amazon is then going to deliver a package. And then UPS 5 minutes later is going to deliver a package. And then FedEx about 10 minutes later is going to deliver a package. And you're going to have to sign for that one. So the doorbell rings and you're disrupted. You see, the devil knows what he's doing. Your dog will throw up on the carpet. Yeah, mark it down. The cat will get sick, and he'll come and show you a mouse that he has in his mouth to show you how on the job your cat is. You know, you mark it down. All this stuff is going to start happening. A long-lost friend, someone you hadn't seen in 50 years, is going to ring your doorbell and be standing there with an excited look on his or her face just when you start getting serious about reading your Bible. But realize, folks, the Lord Jesus says, but seek. But seek. You see, with all the distractions, with all that the devil is going to try and do to stop you from seeking after the Lord, you just have to keep seeking. Don't let the devil hinder you. Just make up your mind that you're going to do what you are putting yourself in a position to do. Realize the Lord Jesus says, but seek. I mean, if you're going to first seek the kingdom of God, you simply have to just put your mind and your heart to seeking and then seek. All right, you just have to do it. Don't let anything stop you. Good things seldom happen to us accidentally, do they? Seldom, all right? You have to seek. You have to work at it. Someone says, well, I just wish I knew the Bible well. Well, I can tell you how to do that. You start reading the Bible daily. You start coming to church faithfully. I mean, you want to know the Lord, you're going to learn him through this book right here. This book. You're not going to learn about the Lord on YouTube. You're not going to learn about the Lord out of an encyclopedia. You learn about the Lord through his eternal, precious word. And you know, folks just don't read the Bible today. I'm sorry, but they don't. You say, Pastor, how can you say that people don't read the Bible? Well, I can say that because the Bible says that if we would love the Word of God, then we're not going to get upset over every little thing that comes along. Yeah. We're not going to get upset. The Bible is very clear that you and I can read and can understand the Scriptures. We can. We're saved. The Holy Spirit, who is the author of this book, lives in your heart if you know Christ as your Savior. And so the same Holy Spirit who wrote the book will share with you understanding of his word. It's just how the Christian life works. Great peace have they which love thy law, the psalmist said, and nothing shall offend them. So if you love your Bible and you're in your Bible, reading your Bible, learning your Bible, knowing your Bible, applying your Bible, then nothing's going to offend you. And yet, look at our world. We are the most offended people in all of history. And sadly, Christians rank right up at the top with the most offended of any group of people. Well, I'm leaving. Why? I got offended. Only once? Only once? Man, you're going to get offended as you go through life. You're going to get offended as you go through life. That's just the way life is. It's one offense after another. How you handle it oftentimes depends on how long you live. You know, these people who just, boom, blow up at anything, you're not going to live very long. That's proven. Stress will kill you. And there are folks that just, they just can't handle life. And then you wonder why you have a heart attack at 30, you know. But seek, seek, seek. Truth, the truth is we must put effort into what we know we ought to do. And that's seek that that thing that we know we ought to do, seek that thing with all our hearts. Evil, think with me now, evil, sinfulness, wickedness does not have to be sought. It does not have to be sought. Those things are seeking us. You don't have to go looking for them. They'll find you. What we have to do is seek the Lord so that we can stand against all those other things. It is naturally within us to accept those things, those bad things. It's what we are. It's who we are. It's our nature. But to seek after the Lord, that's a whole other ball of wax. And that's something that we have to put some effort into. Satan is constantly looking. Peter said it this way. He said, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And folks, you just stop and think about it for a moment. There are folks that were with us 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, who were with us, but now they're no longer with us. Do you know why? Because Satan, as a roaring lion, walks up and down the aisles looking for whom he may devour. It's a constant struggle between you and the devil as to who's going to win. You don't have to seek him. He's seeking you. What we have to seek are the things of God. The things of God. Let me tell you something, church. Evil is always seeking after us, but good has to be sought for by us. There must be desire, dedication, determination, or you'll never obtain the prize. Second thing I want you to notice, secondly, the sequence in the exhortation. Jesus said, seek ye, what's the next word? First, exactly right, the kingdom of God. Now listen, there is a difference in the Bible between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference. All right? The kingdom of heaven is where God dwells. That's where heaven is. The place where we go when we pass from this world and we're saved, we go from here to heaven. Your soul, which is the real you, that soul is eternal. God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And that word living in the Hebrew language means an eternal soul. All right? So think about that now. Think about that. You must live somewhere forever. You just must. You must live somewhere forever. And so heaven is the kingdom of heaven is a place. That's where all the redeemed are now. We die, we go to heaven. All the redeemed are in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where the Lord Jesus is seated upon the throne. It is where the saved people go when they pass on. But the kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is simply the way God does things. It's God's way. It's God's methods. So this verse is an admonition for us to do things God's way. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do things God's way. You remember several years ago, everybody had these little rubber wristbands on it, and it said WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, you know, that's how we ought to behave. We ought to behave like Jesus would behave. Let me ask you something. If somebody was rude to Jesus, if somebody cut the Lord Jesus off on the highway, do you think Jesus would be hanging out the window yelling at him? You know, putting his finger and popping their tire? Huh? No. No. What would Jesus do? What would the Lord do? How would the Lord behave? Well, seek ye first the Lord's methods, the kingdom of God. That's the way God does things. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. I mean, it's God's method. It's his design of action. It is his methodology. So this is an admonition for us to do things God's way. How did the Lord Jesus handle things that happened to him? Well, just read your Bible and you'll find out how he handled things. Do you remember when they beat him all through the night? Do you remember when when some soldier put his foot in his chest and grabbed a hold of his beard and pulled his beard out? Do you remember when they took a blindfold and put it across his eyes and then hit him over the head with a staff and said, "Prophesy, who hit you? Who hit you?" You remember when they beat him with the cat of nine tails and he was so bloody and so ripped apart, and Isaiah said when you looked at him, you couldn't even tell he was a man. His visage, in other words, his image, when you looked at him, it was repulsive because of the blood and the way they had beaten him to within an inch of life. And there he hangs on the cross, and they're clearing their throats and spitting at him, and they're mocking and jeering and making fun of him. He's naked. He's there before them in total shame. And yet, what does he do? Does he say, "All right, angels, come"? He could have called 10,000 angels. Don't ever forget that. He could have called them and they would have destroyed every single person there. He could have cast them all headfirst into hell if he had wanted to. If he had been as vengeful as what we can be. But no, he looked out at that crowd and he said, "Father, forgive them." Wow. I mean, all I can say is, wow, could you do that? Could I do that? Jesus did. You see, folks, our first thought probably would have been revenge, but Jesus asked God to forgive them. When reviled, he reviled not again. He could have called the angels to come out of heaven and slaughter every one of them within 1,000 miles of Jerusalem, but instead, he stayed on that cross and did the job that God sent him here to do. He was seeking first the kingdom of God. You see, folks, we need to understand that as we seek the kingdom of God first, this is a spiritual matter. This is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue, seeking the Lord first, God's methods, God's ways. Yet the world has put spiritual matters on the back burner, hadn't it? That's our world we live in. All in an effort to pursue just a little chunk of this world. They just want a little chunk of the world, their own little chunk. This is mine, I love it. We don't think about the Lord. We don't think about eternity. All we want to think about is our little chunk of the world. Sad. But that's our world. Can I remind you, Jesus said in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What if you had it all? You were the richest man on the planet. You were the most beautiful person on the planet. You were the most congenial person on the planet. The most giving. When folks looked at you, they thought, wow, what a guy. Wow, what a gal. What if you had it all, but then you died, lost, and you ended up in hell? What advantage would any of it be? You see, we need to seek first. Diligently seek first the kingdom of God. So what does the Lord say? Seek the spiritual. This goes for people and this goes for churches. You see churches all over the place today and they're turning their churches into food banks. They're turning their churches into clothing distribution centers. And it takes so much pride in doing these things. And they are noble matters. I'm certainly not against giving food and helping people. We do it every week. But that's not our main focus. We don't do it for the purpose of just, look at us. We're feeding people. No. They call and want food. We don't have them come and get it. We take it to them. You know why we take it to them? Because when we carry the food in the house, one of our soul winners is then going to look at them and say, by the way, should something happen to you today and you should go out into eternity, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You see, we don't feed people to feed people. My goodness, if we were going to do that, we'd just start a soup kitchen. We don't do it for that. We do it to reach souls. My kids need some clothing. What size are they? What size are they? And then we look around and we find something the kids can wear. We take it to them. Oh, by the way, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You see, that's the focus. the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is keeping folks out of hell. Keeping folks out of hell. Then lastly, real quick, notice the support. The support for the exhortation. Now get ready for a promise, folks. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 33. It says in the last phrase, "And all these things shall be added unto you." What a glorious promise that is. What a glorious promise. Notice the Lord Jesus did not say here that he would provide all of our wants. All right? Too many folks go to God in prayer with the gimmies. You know, "Oh God, gimme, 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 gimme." And then God doesn't answer prayer. I asked him to give me and he didn't give me. You know? But the Lord Jesus did promise to provide for our need. He always provides. When Karen and I got married and started into the ministry, I weighed about 140 pounds. You can see I ain't missed no meals. I have gained in 48 years and sustained so far about 50 pounds. Not once has either of us ever been hungry. We've never been without. Not once have we not had a place to sleep. Not once have we not had food in the pantry and in the fridge. We have tried our best to put God first, and then the Lord provides. And he always has. Thank God for his provision. If you look at all the poverty and the lawlessness and the paganism around the world, around the planet, it's usually in the nations where they have no light. That's where you'll find it. I suppose our world is never going to wake up to that fact. I suppose. They haven't yet. And I've been all over the world, and I can tell you where there is freedom and liberty, light and life, is in nations where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed and received. Folks, in 2026, let's seek first the kingdom of God. Let's seek first. Let's seek God's ways. Let's seek God's way of doing things. And we discover God's ways by learning, by knowing, and by being in the Word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to realize the importance of seeking you first. There are many, many Christians in this room this morning, and I pray that you will help all of us to realize the importance of just seeking first the kingdom of God. Lord, give us a desire to want to know you through your word, to know you through your methods. And Father, give us a heart that is first seeking to know you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, please. How many of you will say, "Preacher, I want to start 2026 on the right foot, and I want to seek after the things of God"? Would you lift your hand all over this building and just tell God what's on your heart this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? Just lift your hand. Come on. There you go. Good. Good. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now let me ask one more question. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I need the Lord. I know I need to be saved from my sin. Preacher, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray and ask God to help you? Anybody like that? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Anybody like that? Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure I'm saved. Anybody? All right, I do not see a hand. All right, let's pray. Father, now you know our needs this morning. Thank you for the dozens and dozens and hundreds of hands that were raised here this morning. And I pray that you will help us to seek after the things of the Lord. Help us, Father, to seek your wisdom and your peace and just all the wonderful promises that you give us in your word. We are thankful for each and every one. And Father, those promises are for us. So help us to learn your methods. Help us to learn your way. And put that first and foremost in our effort to serve you in 2026. So bless us richly. I pray for all these hands that were raised. Lord, bless each one. And draw us close to yourself now. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.